Welcome to Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. Well, Judy, it's good to be back in the studio and
back to work.
Eyeball to eyeball across the desk here with you. Yeah. I apologize for making you do it, do the work yourself for the last couple of weeks, but hey, I was just having too much fun in Niagara Falls, New York, doing too much fishing and a little bit of shooting and just having a great time.
Well, good for you. That's what the fall's made for.
Absolutely. And speaking of fall, I mean, we are in the thick of it now. It's October. The salmon are running. The birds are in the covers, and the ducks are flying. What'd you do last weekend?
Well, I did a lot of things. I shot my first round of skeet. I did some trap shooting. Yeah. I did some other hunting that I'm going to save for later. I can't squeeze it in here in 30 seconds. You need the expanded version.
All right.
And I did some fishing on Delavan with guide John Reddy, and we did very well. So.
Okay, and we're going to have him on the show.
Yeah, he can tell us all about that and give up some of his secrets, but it was very good. So. Well, what did you do? Tell us all about that.
I got back from New York, of course, and I spent some time out in Vernon County and did some turkey hunting.
Okay.
And, in fact, I wrote a piece about fall toms and how difficult they are to talk to and to flush and to call back and everything. Mm-hmm. That's going to be it's in the current Wisconsin Outdoor News. It comes out, I think, this week. Well, so I heard some toms gobbling one morning when I was quitting hunting. And I thought, well, this is interesting.
Yeah.
So the next morning, I went out to the area where they were gobbling, and I get right into the roost.
Mm-hmm.
I busted them.
Okay.
And I sat down, and I waited a while, and I heard yelping and gobbling off, like, you know, there were maybe six or seven. I didn't count them all, but I know they all flew, and I was kind of counting them as they flew, but I got up to, you know, five or six and kind of lost track, but I started yelping, and I got them to yelp back, and I didn't have a gobble call with me. I don't like to gobble anyway because, you know, people...
It's not safe.
Yeah, people sometimes shoot at that. Well, anyway, to make it short, I ended up not killing one, but they were very, very vocal.
Okay.
Contrary to some of my past experiences where you can barely get them to talk, you know. These birds wanted to be together, and what happened was they came to the base of the hill. I was up on the hill. And they all got together, and they were talking to me, and they kind of wandered off. And my interpretation of what they were saying was, well, we're all here. Joe, get down here, and let's go. It's time to go to breakfast. And Joe couldn't call the other birds up the hill. But I'll tell you what, next time I think I know where I'm going to be.
Well, they usually say you want to call birds uphill, so I think you were probably in the right spot.
I thought I was doing it right. I was just tickled to have them gobbling and to get them to respond to my yelping.
Yeah. And you were doing a lower-pitched yelp then?
Slower, coarser yelp, just a on a flake call, of course, not with my mouth because I don't do that too well with my mouth.
Yeah.
So that was part of my adventure. And then Tuesday morning, you know, we always check for ticks. It's that time of year.
Yeah.
Tuesday morning, I find one of those little doggone deer ticks under my wristwatch, dug in really well already.
Okay.
Got him out with the tick pliers, but I still have a little bit of a red spot, and I'm just hoping that doesn't turn into the bullseye rash.
Right. How long was he on? I mean, was he filling up with blood?
It wasn't swollen, but I've never seen one of those deer ticks swollen. The wood ticks I've seen, you know, like a grape on the dogs.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
But the little deer ticks, you know, I've just seen them dug in and never really...
Yeah. I think they need to be in for 24 hours.
Well, this was Tuesday, and, you know, we left Sunday, so.
All right. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Watching and taking my precautions. And I talked to Keith Warnke, the state deer biologist, who was grouse hunting last weekend up in Ashland County.
Okay.
And he said he pulled a dozen deer ticks off of his dog. And when I lived up there, we never had deer ticks that far north. So, folks, they're out there. They seem to be pretty much north and west statewide.
What are we waiting for? I mean, like a frost will kill them? Or we've had a frost.
Act of God, I think. I don't know. Yeah, when it gets cold enough, they finally stop bothering you again.
Okay.
But
wow, all right. Well, everybody's got to be on the lookout.
These mild fall days, they're out there.
Okay.
So we have a giveaway. I think we have a winner from our Milford Hills Sporting Clays certificates.
Yep, that's right. Bill Baker has won that. And, Bill, we'll send you an email. You can send us your address. We'll get that certificate out. And we will do the same giveaway this coming week, a round of Milford Hills Sporting Clay. So if you'd like to get entered, you can go to lake-link.com, keyword radio, send us an email, and sign up right there and get entered to win the Sporting Clays.
Yeah, and make sure you say, I want to enter the drawing for the Sporting Clays when you send us an email. Some folks are just saying, hi there, and you know we don't know whether what they're interested in doing. And we have a Shakespeare rod and reel from our friends in Niagara Falls. NiagaraUSA.com is the website, and if you go to that website, Niagara-USA.com, and click on fishing and order a free fishing hotspots map, you're automatically entered in the drawing for a Shakespeare rod and reel combo, and that's just for our listeners. So it's not a huge number of people. It's whoever from our group of listeners enters, and somebody's going to win. And I mentioned the duck opener. You know, I was spent some time on the Mississippi River, not actually on the river, but in the towns along the river, mm-hmm. and heard a fair amount of shooting.
Okay.
I wasn't there early in the morning, but midday on Saturday, there mm-hmm. was plenty of shooting going on.
Yeah, you should go over to the Kickapoo Valley Reserve. That should be open for duck season, and they've got their river going right through it. I mean, mm-hmm. once it reopens, you know, but
right.
that'll be really good. I heard Howard Sparrow, our friend from Sportsman's Warehouse, did real well in the opener. He and his group, they got 17 teal.
Ooh.
And he said they were flying so fast, and it was such a rush and really cool. So people were out that first week and doing really well.
I wonder how many shells they fired for 17 teal, because they're like doves on steroids. I mean, they just are, they're fast, they're on you like nothing, and they're gone, and they're in a huge flock, and it's hard to pick one out.
Sure.
I mean, I'm lucky if I get one or two teal a season, because
yeah.
they're just so hard to hit.
Yeah, well, I'm going to boogie out of here when we're done recording and hopefully go duck hunting tonight. Now, teal, do you need certain male and female? And if they're going that fast, how do you tell?
It's very hard to tell a male from a female.
Okay, good.
All the paintings of Drake blue wings with that little crescent, white crescent behind the eye, those are mm-hmm. that's spring plumage. You don't
okay.
see that in the fall.
See, I'm worried about, I'll see this flock of wood ducks coming, and I'll be aiming for the male, and I'll shoot the female three birds behind.
Well, it's legal. Wood ducks
right.
are, you know.
But it's concerning me.
Yeah,
so.
Well, it's the ones to worry about are the mallards, because, okay. you know, you can shoot more drakes than hens.
Okay. So what's on this week's show?
Coming up on this week's show, well, gosh, you mentioned John Reddy. You fished mm-hmm. with him. We're going to try to reach him on the phone, and my Niagara Falls trip included a couple of fishing trips, and I recorded an interview with Tim Braun, one of the guys I fished with, and we'll play that for folks. And we'll also play an interview that I did when I went to the Professional Outdoor Media Association conference in Minneapolis with a fellow named J.J. Reich, who has written a couple of books for kids. And this is our No Child Left Inside segment. We're going to start that series again now that we have our sponsor, Balestrieri Environmental, back with us, and we're really excited about that. He's got some fun books, and we're going to also talk with Chris Cantrell of Milford Hills Hunt Club and get a shotgun shooting tip from him. All that and more right after this.
The lowest prices, the best selection with three great locations at Heckles Marina. The deals are better than ever. From bass boats powered by Yamaha to pontoons and ski boats, all new non-current year models are priced to move. Heckles will not be undersold. We are ready to get you the deal you want. Your marina of choice and five-star Yamaha dealer is Heckles Marina, Eagle River, Stevens Point, Wausau, and newest Sun Prairie, Madison location.
We make deals you won't believe, satisfaction guaranteed.
More news, more information, more fishing. The new LakeLink has arrived.
If you've been fishing as long as we have, you'll really appreciate all that LakeLink has to offer. Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. LakeLink has been providing daily reports from the lakes and rivers you want to fish for over 10 years.
If you become a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure that you find that are not on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates right on your map. You'll also be able to sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
And coming soon, look for me, Judy Nugent, in the new women's section, offering tips and advice for women who love the outdoors.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows. Send us your ideas and enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways, all on lake-link.com, keyword radio. This is Dan Small. Milford Hills Hunt Club is open year-round with upland bird hunting, sporting clays, shooting instruction, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater to your special event. Milford Hills features state-of-the-art electronic traps in a sporting clays course, elevated five-stand, and oscillating wobble trap. Enjoy open and league shooting Wednesday through Sunday, or sharpen your skills in a personal lesson with a certified instructor. Milford Hills Hunt Club's first-class restaurant offers a full menu for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, including a great Friday fish fry. For a truly memorable event, let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, wedding, or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at a bachelor party outing of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's most complete upland hunting and sporting clays facility. Call 920-699-2299 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers. And we're back. And Judy, are you going to tell us what you did last weekend, that exciting outing?
Not yet.
Oh, man, we can't. You know, we only have an hour.
Well, now that we're building it up, I'm getting a little nervous.
Well, okay. Well, let's go to our No Child Left Inside segment. We're starting that again now this week because our friends at Balestrieri Environmental are back with us. And this segment is brought to you by Balestrieri Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their exposure to environmental liability and hazards. And, Judy, I mentioned J.J. Reich, a fellow I met at the POMA conference. I did a neat interview with him. Let's listen to what he has to say. I'm at the Professional Outdoor Media Association second annual business conference in Minnesota, and I ran into J.J. Reich, who's an outdoor writer who's got a series of books called Camp Tales, and he spells camp with a K, and these are books for kids. J.J., tell us about these two books. Let's start with Dear Dad.
Right. The books are based on the camp family, and that's why I spell it with a K. And so it's a little play on words because people go to hunting camps and fishing camps. So the book series are all about the camp family. And I have two different types of book series. One is a picture book series, which are meant for younger kids, maybe 3 to 6. And it's a book in the same style they're used to seeing, with large pictures and 1 or 2 sentences. And it keeps their attention span. And it teaches them all about white-tailed deer. And that one is called Dear Dad. And that's the first in that series. The second book series is a chapter book series. And these books are written for second grade and third grade readers, independent readers. Now, of course, you can read them to a kid of any age, but second and third graders can read them on their own. And they're a chapter book. This book is entitled Snort, Wheeze, Rattle, and Grunt. And it's basically a day in the life of hunting. So it basically walks through from sunrise to sunset on what a day of bow hunting white-tailed deer might be like.
Now, tell us, without giving the whole story away, tell us what Dear Dad is about.
Dear Dad is basically about young Jack Camp asking his dad why white-tailed deer are so fun to hunt and what makes them so exciting. So Dad says, well, I'm going to show you instead of just tell you. And he brings out his old Halloween costume, and he basically puts on the costume in front of Jack. And with each piece of the costume, he explains why deer have that type of skill or attribute or animal part. So let's say he puts on the deer antlers. He has a couple pages of explaining deer antlers and how deer antlers grow in the spring and all summer long, and then they shed their velvet and become sharp, and they use them to to fight and keep their territories, but basically explaining throughout the whole story what white-tailed deer, what kind of skills and attributes they have through this whole costume.
And snort, wheeze, rattle, and grunt, it's basically a day in the life of a deer hunter in the woods?
That's correct. Basically, young Jack Camp gets to go bow hunting with his dad and his uncle Carl and his cousin Joe. And it takes young Jack through the whole series of what some events could take place. For example, in the morning they sit in a tree stand, and Jack really wants to call with his deer call, but Dad says, no, we're not going to call this morning. We're just going to let deer naturally play it out, and sometimes it's better just to be quiet. And so Jack learns that lesson. And then in the afternoon, they have their lunch with their grandpa, and their grandpa talks a little bit more about deer and hunting and some techniques. And then that afternoon, instead of the tree stand, they go into a ground blind, and Jack gets to hunt out of a ground blind. And he gets lucky enough to see his dad take a whitetail buck. So at the end, they are successful hunters.
What were you trying to get at in writing these two books for kids?
Basically got a lot of the same theme from talking with manufacturers as far as, hey, we got to get more kids involved with hunting. And it goes beyond manufacturers to everybody in the outdoor industry and hunters themselves. And my family and friends all believe that we need to get young kids involved. But there really wasn't any type of product or tool to help kids get involved. And we've sent out hundreds of copies of these books out to families to get their reactions. And the number one thing we get back is, after my kid read this book, he wants to go hunting. Or after my daughter read this book, she wants to go out with me. And that's my goal, really, with this series, is getting kids excited and involved with it. It's just basically about getting in the outdoors and getting those kids in the outdoors. And it keeps them out of trouble, that's for sure.
JJ, how can people get a copy of your books or learn more about them?
You can get the books at Amazon.com. And then camptales.com, of course. I sell autographed copies online, so that's the only way you can get an autographed copy is camptales.com. That's spelled KAMPPTALES.com.
Well, JJ, I'm excited to learn that the Camp family is out there spreading the message of fun in the great outdoors to kids and families, and we wish you the best of luck, and we look forward to more books.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That was No Child Left Inside, and that segment was brought to you by Balistrary Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their exposure to environmental liability and hazards. This next segment is brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's most complete upland hunting and sporting clays experience, on the web at milfordhills.com. And we have Chris Cantrell on the line to talk to us about shotgun shooting once again. And Chris is the sporting clays manager at Milford Hills Hunt Club in Johnson Creek. And Chris, when I was away, I know you and Judy talked about shotgun fit. What kind of advice have you got for us today?
Today we're going to talk about the flashlight trick, which helps you get a more consistent and steady gun out.
What do? Shine it in the animal's eyes and it can't see?
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay. No.
What it is of course, unloaded. A mini mag light will slide right in the end of a 12-gauge barrel, as long as you don't have, like, a full choke in there.
Uh-huh.
And you tighten the light down, the mag light, all the way to its finest point, and you actually do it inside your house, again, unloaded, but using the wall, like where your ceiling and the wall meet that line, you practice mounting your gun. The problem with most people is they use one hand too much over the other. Typically for a right-handed shooter, they use the right hand too much. What you really want to use is the left hand, and you almost push the gun, kind of like you see on the old war movies, the bayonet on the end of the gun. You almost push like you have a bayonet and bring the gun up. When you use too much right hand, you'll see the light will dip down and then back up, and you want just a slow rise. It will helps build muscle memory and get both hands working together to get a more consistent, fluid, smooth gun mount. Because when the gun's dancing in front of your face, it's not allowing your eyes to see the target. So we want to give our eyes every advantage they can.
So I'm not sure I understand this, Chris. Exactly what do I do? I'm mounting the gun, and I'm looking at the light, and tell us about the wall, how that works.
Where your ceiling and your wall meet, there's a line.
Right.
So you practice going left to right and right to left like you would be shooting in the field, kind of crossing birds.
Okay.
For birds that are going away, like the corner of the wall. Where the
okay.
line is.
Okay.
So you can see the light. The line gives you kind of a reference point to look at, to use, so you can see the light and how it compares to that line.
Okay, so you want the light to be following the line smoothly instead of dancing around.
Correct, and that will, all you're doing basically is building muscle memory and consistency. Like I said, when you use too much, especially the right hand for right-handed shooters, you'll see the barrel will dip down first or the light will dip, and then it'll come back up and then it'll come across. When you do it together using both hands, you'll just see a slight rise to that line and going straight across, which again gives your eyes every opportunity to see the bird without something being your barrel dancing in front of you.
Yeah, I was at the trap range last week, and I was shooting trap, and there was a gun instructor there that said, look, you're jerking that gun all the way around. He said, watch those students over there, those kids, and the barrel barely moved at all. So it sounds like that's what you're trying to achieve with this trick.
Correct. It will steady yourself. It will slow you down, and again, it's building the muscle memory. And this is stuff you can do at home without, you know, going to the range. You can practice mounting the gun at the house, and you're not spending the money on the shells and the targets, and it will benefit you just as well as going to the range. It will help you tremendously the next time you get to the range or when you get out in the field. It will slow you down, like you say. You won't feel as erratic with the gun movement, so it will really, really help you out.
All right, and just make sure to take that flashlight out of the barrel before you go hunting.
Correct. Correct.
Say, you're open for hunting now, speaking of hunting, aren't you?
Yeah, this is the first week. Uh-huh. We started October 2nd, so we'll be here open till March 31st.
All right. Well, folks who want to shoot sporting clays or shoot some live birds can go to Milford Hills Hunt Club in Johnson Creek, and you can check them out on the web at milfordhills.com. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you.
That segment was brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's most complete upland game hunting experience, on the web at milfordhills.com.
This fishing report is brought to you by Mercury Outboards, number one on the water. Well, Dan, it's time to travel down to the southern end of the state and get a fishing report on big lakes like Lake Geneva and Delavan Lake. And I had the privilege of fishing with guide John Reddy last week, and we were out on Delavan to shoot an episode for Outdoor Wisconsin and did extremely well. So I wanted John on the show to share his secrets and tell us how the fishing's been since. John, you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
All right. Hey, we had some great fishing, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a good time. It was a pretty good bite after kind of a cold night, so I was pleasantly surprised.
So what'd you catch?
Well, Judy hooked into a real nice northern pike right off the bat.
Ooh.
And then
second cast.
Oh, really? Wow. Real nice means what?
I would say it was, we didn't take the time to measure the fish, but we, I think it was between probably 32 and 34, somewhere in there. So
yeah.
I'd say it was at least, a 6 to 8 pound fish.
That's a good fish.
Nice fish.
Yeah, what'd it take?
Well, we were actually fishing drop shot rigs for walleyes. We were actually going after walleyes with like just a half a crawler on a circle hook on a drop shot rig tied by a polymer knot with a weight on the bottom. And we were just real slowly, finesse jigging on the bottom, and Judy said she got a little tap and turned out to be a pretty large fish.
Yeah, well, you were telling me that the lighter the tap, the larger the fish, and it certainly held true.
Yeah, I know, this time of year, if you get a little bit of a pull or feels like you hook bottom or just a little tap, a lot of times that'll be a good-sized walleye, you know, over 18 inches. The smaller ones tend to hit it a little more aggressively. But it's been a good bite. It's just been kind of a finesse bite. The fish are starting to feed and they're starting to go into their fall patterns with the shorter days that we're having, so...
Yeah, and we were lucky enough to be catching walleyes midday, which I know you can't do on most lakes. But tell people, if they're going to go to Delavan, what should they look for in terms of lake bottom and depth and things like that?
Well, what I tend to do is with any lake, just look at the main points, points that extrude out into the lake or go out into the lake. You want to focus on those areas where there's kind of a wall where the floor meets the wall, I'd say. A lot of the steep breaks out there kind of spill into the basin, which is the basin's around 45 feet out there average depth, and I usually try to look where they can slide up and down those steep breaks quickly. A lot of the times at nighttime they'll go up on the top of those breaks and feed above the weed lines, the remaining weeds out there. So they tend to congregate in those areas out there. I know a lot of fishermen have been fishing around those points, so if you can find some alternate spots that are real similar to that, that aren't pressured as much, it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. How's Geneva fishing?
Geneva's been real well. Back about 2 weeks ago when we had that real cold snap, we got that hard frost that one Saturday morning. The smallmouth bass fishing was really good about that time, and with that last warm-up, the fish kind of scattered again. Well, we've been starting to get some cooler nights again, and that bite's starting to heat up again. And you can find them on the flats, on the breaks. A lot of guys are concentrating on the points and the main breaks out there and doing quite well. A lot of the larger bluegills and pumpkin seeds are also in that deeper water. We're fishing mainly 25 to 45 feet of water. It just depends, and it's a real good idea to use your electronics to try to find the smallmouth, because they're starting to school up, and you'll find some pretty good groups of them out there.
Did you get some walleyes that day then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we caught 4 to 6 walleyes roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest one was close to 16 inches, maybe 16 inches.
Yep.
But as we go further and further into fall, the bigger females will start to feed heavier and heavier. Trophy-sized fish out there will be more accessible the colder the water gets. And we were probably about 69 degrees average out there last week. So the water temp is dropping slowly but surely here.
Yeah, well, I've got to share with you a little tidbit. The camera crew was very impressed with you, and you know that crew. They've been on Outdoor Wisconsin for years. They've seen tons of guides, and they really were impressed with how you conducted the day and how successful we were, and I thought that was a compliment I wanted to pass on to you.
Well, I appreciate that. That makes you feel pretty good. You know, I kind of had the idea where you've had some real successful trips, so I thought I probably had a pretty high bar to cross. So.
Well, you caught some fish, and that's the key thing.
Yeah. Well, I was very fortunate. I feel very fortunate to have been able to do that TV shoot. So,
well, hey, if folks want to hire you, where can they get a hold of you?
I guess a good way is through my website. It's readyguideservice.com, and spelled R-E-D-D-Y. Also, my phone number is 262-949-3470.
All right. Well, John, thanks a lot, and keep me posted on how those lakes are fishing.
Sure, I certainly will.
This fishing report was brought to you by Mercury Outboards, number one on the water.
But, Judy, you caught that northern pike on a nightcrawler. Did that surprise you?
Yes, very pleasantly. Because,
yeah.
You know, as soon as I set the hook, I'm like, this is not a walleye.
Right.
And it came straight up to the surface. I could see this big sea monster out there. And so, but I didn't tell the audience because, you know, the camera's right there. And I'm like, yep, this isn't a walleye. And then luckily we netted it. And it was huge. It had this big bulging stomach. It had a big crappie in it or something.
Okay.
It was awesome.
Yeah. You know, northern pike eat the strangest things.
Yeah.
We caught about a dozen fishing the Niagara River, and I kept two of them.
Okay.
And when I opened them up, my sister's kids wanted to see what was inside and everything. We opened their stomachs. Zebra mussels.
Oh, cool.
One of the pike. Yeah, he had eaten a small handful of zebra mussels.
Okay, makes sense. Calcium.
But speaking of New York, you know I was fishing with Tim Braun of Braun's Outdoors, and I took the iPod with me, recorded an interview with Tim and Roger LePenter while we were on the boats. Let's listen to that. I'm just coming off Lake Erie in the port of Buffalo, New York, with Captain Tim Braun and Roger LePenter, and we've been fishing smallmouths most of the day today. Now, Tim, we caught, I didn't count them, but it had to be a couple dozen bass, and there were several 3- and 4-pounders, but you said this was a slow day.
I would say it was a slow day. I mean, usually we can get into the 4.5, 5-pound range this time of year, quite a few. But we had a massive cold front come through, and I think it turned the fish off a little bit.
Now, our style of fishing up on Shawmigan Bay and Lake Superior is similar, but the difference, big difference, is the water is a lot deeper here that we fished. We were fishing, what, 30 to 40 feet?
Yeah, the average depth that we fish out here this time of year is probably anywhere from 27 to 42 feet. You know, give or take, you get into the 30s a little bit. But that's the majority of your fish that you're going to catch this time of year on Erie.
Now, what kind of structure would you call what we were fishing today?
We're fishing a lot of isolated rock piles and a lot of real subtle breaks in the depth of the water from maybe 1 to 2 foot depressions and, you know, and some sharp breaks from 25, you know, to 30 feet.
Now, this is the middle of September. How long does this fishing continue?
Fishing will probably end maybe, I'll say, middle of November. It'll shut down a little bit.
So you've got a couple more months to look forward to if the weather holds.
Oh, yeah, that's the big question, if the weather holds. Up here, we get a lot of northerly wind that time of year, and it could, you know, make you not get out on the lake with the big waves.
And when in the spring does your bass fishing start?
First Saturday in May is what we call our trophy season, and it runs from the first Saturday in May to the third Saturday in June, and you can keep one fish per day over 20 inches, and that's a great time of the year to come on up here and fish if you want to really try to catch a trophy smallmouth.
Well, we'll have to think about coming back for that. Well, we had a great time today. Raj, what did you think of the fishing here?
I'm impressed. You know, my whole purpose of coming here was to see how it compared to the bay, and they've got a wonderful fishery here.
We saw a lot of fish. We saw some pretty nice fish, 4-pounders, we think. Saw a lot of boats out there, too. What would you say about the traffic you saw today compared to back home?
Well, there's a greater population up here, so we're going to obviously see more boats. It wasn't overbearing, though. There was lots of room for everyone.
There's a lot of area here where you can fish. You're not restricted to one or two spots, so even in the peak season, you've got different places you can fish, right?
Yes, I usually, I don't fish in a big crowd. I usually bring people out into like an isolated area. I have a lot of small areas that I can fish out in the main lake on the Canadian side and on the American side, so.
Well, we had a good time. Now, if folks want to look you up as a guide or learn more about your service, where can they find that information?
Oh, they can log on to bronzeoutdoors.com, or they can contact me on my cell phone at 716-860-5564.
Well, Tim, thanks again. We had a great time.
Hey, thank you. I had a great time fishing with both you guys. It was my pleasure.
You know, Judy, you would have loved Tim's boat.
Yeah.
It's a 621 Ranger, colors black and orange.
Oh, cool.
Harley colors. And he did that intentionally.
Okay.
And he called me on the way to the studio this morning. I'm on my way in. The phone rings. It's Tim Brown. He says, hey, I'm trying to sell that boat.
Oh,
you
really?
Know anybody who's interested? So if anyone wants a Ranger 21-foot 621 VS with a 250 HPDI Yamaha loaded, check out Tim Braun's website. That's bronzeoutdoors.com, B-R-A-U-N-S, outdoors.com. We'll be back after this.
Ward Burton rounds the far turn way out front.
Hi, I'm Ward Burton. As a race car driver, I can drive an average of 180 miles per hour in a typical race, but that's nothing compared to how fast something else is going. Our natural wildlife habitats. In North America, we're losing 2,500 acres a day. See, I'm not just a professional stock car driver. I'm also an outdoor enthusiast and conservationist. That's why I'm a life member of the Rocky Mount Elk Foundation. Together, we have protected and enhanced 5 million acres of wildlife habitat across North America. But we need to do more. To find out how, visit www.elkfoundation.org or call 1-800-CALL-ELK.
There's the checkered flag, and chalk another one up for Ward Burton.
Join the Rocky Mount Elk Foundation. We can't reach the finish line without you.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Benelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at your New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse store.
This is Dan Small. Milford Hills Hunt Club is open year-round with upland bird hunting, sporting clays, shooting instruction, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater to your special event. Milford Hills features state-of-the-art electronic traps in a sporting clays course, elevated five-stand, and oscillating wobble trap. Enjoy open and league shooting Wednesday through Sunday, or sharpen your skills in a personal lesson with a certified instructor. Milford Hills Hunt Club's first-class restaurant offers a full menu for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, including a great Friday fish fry. For a truly memorable event, let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, wedding, or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at a bachelor party outing of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's most complete upland hunting and sporting clays facility. Call 920-699-2299 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com. Well, it's time now for the Conservation Corner, brought to you by the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, on the web at elkfoundation.org. And usually we have a guest here to talk about conservation, but Judy's been teasing us with her weekend, last weekend, and so let's see if there's a conservation connection here. Judy, what did you do last weekend?
Put just a little pressure on me here this morning.
Yeah.
I had a very, very good weekend and saw some of the abundance that's been made possible in Wisconsin because of conservation. But we went to our grouse hunting grounds, as we usually do, woke up very early and drove up and got going, and your dog worked very well, and I was so pleased because I had done some shooting previously because I didn't do so well in the first grouse hunt. And first bird goes up, boom. Second bird goes up, boom.
Dead bird.
Third bird goes up, boom.
Dead bird.
So I've got three birds by 8:30, and I'm thinking, all right, I might get a limit here. So I was very pleased. We kept going through. The birds were all singles. We only had one group actually the whole day that was a double flush. So I think the birds are starting to disperse, which is good for hunters to know that they'll be able to see more across the landscape if you can find the right habitat.
Right.
And they were pretty much in dogwood. So,
and this is dogwood in central Wisconsin, somewhere, we won't say exactly where.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big secret, so we call it Area 51.
Yeah. Good enough. Okay.
You know, where they keep the aliens. So, the bad news is I didn't get a limit.
Oh.
I got four grouse and a woodcock. But I was very pleased, very good hunting. We only had three woodcock flushes. We think we had 15 grouse flushes on 12 birds. So
that's very good. And you were four for what?
I was four for six.
Oof, that's good.
So I did really well.
I was wondering if you're going to run five straight. I've only done that once
in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it. But to see those kind of numbers, I really think they're coming back. So I was like, wow, I actually have a chance at it. So very good hunting. And then we got back, and I decided, okay, I'll try to go deer hunting.
Why not?
Yeah. So a friend of mine's got a double stand, and so I went over there, and I climbed up the double stand, and I'm sitting there and sitting there and sitting there tired, you know, because your legs are all tired.
Yeah. You were belted in, I hope.
No, I wasn't. Should I be?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I talked to a guy at a sports show probably 10 years ago who did exactly that. He grouse hunted all morning or all day and then said, well, I'm going to sit for deer the last hour of the day.
Yeah.
Fell asleep. Fell on his head, broke his neck.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll think about that. That'd be very cheap and easy to do.
You should absolutely do that.
Okay. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and here I in the woods coming up the crunchy leaves, and here it's a turkey. And I'm like, oh, man, this turkey's going to bust my hunt. Where's all his little friends? Big, giant Tom with this big, long beard. So I'm sitting there and just kind of complaining, and then I'm like, wait a minute.
I got a tag.
Yeah, it took me like 5 minutes. I'm like, it's turkey season. It's open. I got a tag. So I'm like, all right, let's see if I can pull this off. So I pull back, and it doesn't spook.
Mm-hmm.
I turn on it, and I let go, and thunk, it hits it.
Oh.
And it starts a flap, kind of flap. It can't fly, but it's kind of like flap running down the edge of the field and then into the woods.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, okay, I really don't know this property very well. I'm going to, okay. It's about 5 o'clock. I'm like, well, I gotta follow up this bird, and I better do it with a gun in case it's not dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down the hill, got a gun. My friend had a dog, and so we went back up because in the fall you can hunt with a dog.
It's an experimental deal in certain counties.
Well, we were able to do that, and we went up to where I'd last seen the bird, followed it down the hill, and then we heard foom, foom, foom in the brush. Mm-hmm. So I cut down trying to get in front of it to get a shot. Didn't see it. Didn't see it. Didn't see it. Dog couldn't find it again. We were so depressed. But then we're like, okay, what do we do? We're like, well, we'll just let it expire overnight. Now, I'm feeling really smart because I bought a Luminoc. Have you heard of these?
Yeah.
Okay, I bought one.
Light on the back of the arrow.
Yeah, it lights it up the back of the arrow once it's released. So I'm like, I'll be able to see it at night. Yeah. Okay, so I go up the next morning to deer hunt, pitch black, can't see it, can't see it, can't see it. I'm like, well, all right. Deer hunted, didn't see anything, came back down the hill, got the dog, went back up, nothing. So I was really kind of hoping to have a great turkey story for the show, but instead I've got a due diligence segment to tell you that, you know, you got to follow up the game and be ethical about it. But unfortunately, I never found that big Tom, and I was kind of bummed. And maybe we fed some coyotes with it. So
yeah, and certainly it didn't go to waste.
Yeah.
You know, the coyotes probably did get it. Now, was the arrow still in the bird, you think?
The arrow was still in the bird. We never found the arrow. It was sticking straight out.
Yeah.
When you're turkey hunting and you're bow hunting for turkey, you want to hit straight on where the beard it meets the animal
if
in the chest.
The bird is looking at you. Yeah.
Right. Or the other way around, right through the tail and up the back.
Right, right. Yeah. Or the butt of the wing if it's a sideways
shot.
That's
the thing. If it's a sideways, you want to try to pin that wing. And I'm kind of wondering, too, if I don't have enough drawback on the bow, because maybe I should have been able to, the arrow should have gone through the bird and pinned it to the ground.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
I don't have a 65-pound draw. You know, I've got 45, 50-pound draw, so it didn't happen that way. But you're right. If they're... you're looking to bow hunt for turkey, you got to kind of experiment, or not experiment, but research and see best ways to get it.
Yeah, but you at least, as you say, did due diligence. You looked for that bird.
Yep.
You made extra effort and did it legally.
Right.
You know, with a dog. In some counties, it's experimental this year. Folks are using dogs to actually flush the birds.
To scatter them.
Scatter them, and then they sit tight and cover the dog with a burlap or put him in a little cage or something, and then call the birds back.
Yeah, that's the thing. When that bird was fluff and fluff, fluff in the distance, it's like, whoa, we don't want to shoot the dog. You know, where's the dog? You know, make sure everything's really safe. So, but there's a lot of great hunting out there if you know where to go. Where we were grouse hunting, tons and tons of brood that we'd see. And the little guys, the poults, are much bigger now.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's really a good time. They're starting to flock up. You can get, you know, flocks of 50 and so. So it's a good time to do it, yeah.
I'm surprised the dog couldn't pick up the turkey stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe once it started running. Plus, you know, most dogs, when people are training dogs, they don't want them to be chasing turkeys. You kind of need a special dog if you're going to go after turkeys. Because otherwise, it'll ruin it. If you're out grouse hunting and your dog's chasing turkeys or deer or bunnies, you know, you're in trouble. So you kind of shock them off that, so.
Yeah, my dogs would chase anything that ran or flew, so if they got into a turkey scent, they just went hog wild because there's so much scent on a big bird, or seemed to be anyway.
It was a nice try, and it was a very exciting hunt, but it didn't work out the way I wanted it to. But also, I wanted to mention to folks, we had talked last week on this show about American Airlines and the fact that they were going to stop allowing people to carry firearms as checked luggage when they went on international flights. And interestingly enough, this broke last week, and then Safari Club and the NRA stepped in almost immediately and talked to American Airlines, and within a week, they have reversed that position.
No kidding.
So now it is okay for you to check your gun, your firearm, as check baggage. So very interesting. It's good to see that the voice of the conservationist can be heard and change things around really quickly. American Airlines is getting applauded by a lot of companies for the quick turnaround on that decision. So
well, good for them. I would like to have been in that room to hear that conversation. You reverse this, or we'll tell our 6 million members to fly some other airline.
I don't know, but it has been reversed, so that's some good news.
Great. Well, this Conservation Corner has been brought to you by the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation on the web at elkfoundation.org. We'll be back after this.
Gossage winds up. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three.
Hi, I'm Goose Gossage. As a former Major League relief pitcher, I've had my share of great saves. But I can honestly say that none of my saves on the field has matched the importance of the ones I've had here. In the field. As an outdoor enthusiast, preserving our natural lands is important to me. That's why I'm a life member of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Together, we're helping to protect and enhance millions of acres of the most remarkable country in North America. You see, by working to ensure the future of elk country, I'm working to preserve public access to outdoor opportunities for myself and for future generations.
That's it! Another great save for Gossage!
Join the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and the next big save just might be yours.
To find out how you can help, visit www.elkfoundation.org or call 1-800-CALL-ELK.
This is Dan Small. Milford Hills Hunt Club is open year-round with upland bird hunting, sporting clays, shooting instruction, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater to your special event. Milford Hills features state-of-the-art electronic traps in a sporting clays course, elevated five-stand, and oscillating wobble trap. Enjoy open and league shooting Wednesday through Sunday, or sharpen your skills in a personal lesson with a certified instructor. Milford Hills Hunt Club's first-class restaurant offers a full menu for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, including a great Friday fish fry. For a truly memorable event, let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, wedding, or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at a bachelor party outing of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's most complete upland hunting and sporting clays facility. Call 920-699-2299 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com.
And we're back. And what's on Outdoor Wisconsin next week, Dan?
Well, next week, Judy, and that's October 11th, Thursday night on Outdoor Wisconsin, you're looking at training falcons for hunting at the Exclusive Hunting Club.
Cool.
And Tom Neubauer's fishing for bass with Augie Nicosia.
Okay. And we'd like to remind folks that every week we're giving away something exciting here on our show. And this week it is a round of sporting clays at Milford Hills Hunt Club. And if you ever miss our show and you want to know what the exciting giveaway is, you should sign on for our e-newsletter. And that's something you can do at LakeLink. But we also have some important events to announce here. The New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is having a seminar Sunday, October 7th, 2 o'clock. Intro to Muzzleloading with Nikki Batias. And then Tuesday, October 9th at 6:30 in the evening, Jim O'Brien of Dancing with Walleyes Guide Service.
You like that, don't you?
It's hilarious. Talks about fall walleye tactics. Okay. And then the next day, Wednesday, October 10th, 7 p.m., learn how to fletch aluminum and carbon arrows with Wanda Lubke. And finally, Saturday, October 13th, 2 o'clock, GPS for beginners. So for more information, call your New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse at 262-641-2000.
And those events are also listed on the Sportsman's Warehouse website, so you can check there for events at this Sportsman's Warehouse and others around the country as well. The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has an event in Madison coming up on October 8th, and that is a dinner in Madison. And then in Michigan, there's one on October 20th in Sheboygan, the Straits Area Big Game Banquet. And for contact phone numbers, you can go to www.rmef.org. Tickets for some of these banquets are available online. And you can also vote for New Berlin, Wisconsin resident Bernie Lemon for the Budweiser Conservationist of the Year Award. Bernie's a longtime volunteer with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. In fact, he spearheaded the reintroduction of elk to Wisconsin in 1995. I don't know, Judy, you probably don't know that, but I was up there when they let the elk go. They let them out of the trailer, and we had Ron Anderson videotaping. He was actually in the pen lying down, and he's got this great shot of an elk galloping right at him and jumping right over his prone body there. It was we weren't sure we were going to have Ron with us after that. Anyway, so the elk in Wisconsin owe a lot to Bernie, and to vote, you can log on to Budweiser.com and look for Conservationist of the Year, and there's a $50,000 prize for this award, and Bernie has said if he wins, he'll donate the money to elk restoration in Wisconsin and efforts to introduce young people to hunting and fishing and other outdoor pursuits.
Oh, that's great. Good luck to Bernie.
You bet.
But I think we're running out of time for this week's show.
I think you're right, Judy. You've been listening once again to Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com. This is a production of Dan Small Outdoors, LLC. Music by Warren Nelson on the web at warrennelson.com. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
I'll be